I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our season 2018 primer for Essendon. Geez, how to get that out? 2018. 2018.
Biggest effort not to do a redo.
Yes,
yep, that we've exactly. done yet. I do want to record that one
yes,
again.
Yes, fellow humans of year 2018. I am also human and enjoy human sports.
Well, we're talking about Essendon, so whatever it takes, you know, just to get through it. God, how long are we in? We've already got a whatever it takes supplements joke.
20 seconds.
Dick.
20 seconds.
Yeah. I want to say joke. Let's say dick.
Well, to be honest, I think anyone tuning in knows that that's going to be mentioned.
Once or twice. All right, so first off, we'll look back at 2017 and how that went. 12 wins and finishing seventh.
Spectacularly, I'd say.
I'd say so too. I mean, this was the comeback year for them. Making finals was the icing on the cake for them.
Yeah, I think the real win was just putting a stop to all the jokes that were pretty easy, like low-hanging fruit for Essendon. Yeah.
I don't know about that. I think there's a few years worth of legs left.
Well, we can see how this. We can see how this season plays out. There could be a few that pop up.
But as soon as Essendon legend Bomber Thompson gets back into town, Geelong have disowned his ass.
But yeah, I mean, they made finals. It was an emotional year. I think round one against Hawthorn was a highlight for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were at that game, and just I remember before the first bounce, Kevin Sheedy was on the big screen.
Yeah.
And he gave the G up for the crowd. And he said, get your scarves out and start waving around. And I swear, if there were 100,000 people there, it must have been only 10,000 Hawks, is what it felt
like.
Once they all stood up. And like, even I was there and I was going, this is great. They've done this perfectly. Because that's all they needed was sheets.
Well, he's like the last person that didn't fuck them.
Well, we're still a constitutional monarchy for the moment. Surely Sheedy's up there for a knighthood.
Oh, I'd take it.
I think Abbott, I think we're rid of them. We only got Prince Philip as a knight at the moment.
No, that's the Australian knighthoods.
They came back for 5 minutes and then they fucked off again.
they gave it to Philip.
They gave Prince Philip the knighthood and he's like, okay.
Dedicated racist.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he could just ask his missus.
Well,
like,
that's true.
Sweetheart, can I get a knighthood? She's like, if I have a knife, I'm cutting your fucking head off. He's like, all right, never mind.
And I mean, Prince Philip's already a god in one little island and somewhere in the world. So that's true. Knighthood just really would not be much after that.
I don't think he noticed. I think, was it Prince Philip and Peter Cosgrove were the only two that got him?
Oh, there you go.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, though. This is going to be a long bow to draw. Do you remember the cartoon Wizard of Id? Like, it was a newspaper one.
Yeah.
There was a knight in that that had, like, a helmet with the nose cone that went out about 3 feet. Yeah. That'd be Prince Philip's.
Yeah.
He's got a fair old schnoz on him.
He does.
So there's, you know, a turn back time.
A lot of people look down that nose up.
Speaking of big noses, don't know how that connects to Essendon.
Yeah.
A few things went up, noses.
What were the highs for Essendon this year besides round one?
Well, they weren't very high. That was kind of the better part of it.
Well, one was.
Also, I think one of the highs was just sort of galvanising their fans to get behind them and support them. They had good crowd turnouts pretty much for all their games. And they actually rewarded their fans for coming out too, which, I mean, a lot of times when, especially those sort of traditional clubs, the Collingwoods, Carlton's, Richmond's, Essendon's, when they're down the dumps, they tend to have that following, but they tend to eat their own as well. I mean, Richmond especially. But Essendon, they really galvanised, got behind them and actually repaid them. And not many other teams who were in that situation did.
Well, the big one was winning against Collingwood twice.
Yeah, I mean, that's good.
So your Anzac Day win, that's worth, you know, three other wins in terms of building some sort of feeling of going somewhere.
Yeah.
But to get him on the return leg as well, you know, that's a brilliant result for Essendon.
Yeah.
Anything to keep Collingwood down.
Exactly. And I mean, that always makes everyone happy. And that's the way to get everyone behind you again is just to thrash Collingwood.
And I think the other high was the game against Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
At Etihad Stadium. That too. That was as clinical as I've seen Essendon since, you know, the 2000 days.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were even wasteful, like 1917.
Yeah, they could have done a lot more. But everything they touched, the ball bounced the right way for them. It was just Port didn't play terribly.
Yeah.
Which is what made it worse. It was just on Essendon's terms.
And there's only a few games we saw this season that were like that. Another one was when St Kilda played Richmond, and they were perfect in every way. And so, it was just sort of almost heartwarming to see Essendon, the players get on the field and put in 100% effort. I felt like the biggest win they had was actually at the negotiating table at the end of the season. I thought
their off-season was the best I've seen.
Yeah, and they got a little bit of criticism for... I don't know, some shit which people were just jealous of. But I thought that they were just ruthless, good at the negotiating table, and they picked up opportunities where other teams sort of gave up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look, they've had a hard reputation for 10 years for being difficult to trade with, and their record shows that,
it's true.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
They had a plan. They had a sniper rifle when it came to the trade table, and they made things happen.
Yeah.
When others were stalling, they moved in and just went, well, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And particularly with the stringer trade, where that came through.
Yeah. Scoreboard pressure is what they put on.
Precisely. Their lows then. What have we got their lows for their season?
I would say indicative of some of their possession was that their most efficient possession getter was Sean McKernan.
Yep. Is that a fact?
Yeah, but what did he play? 4 games?
He played a couple. No, poor bastard. I feel bad for him.
Nothing wrong with him.
No.
He's a 6'2" trying to play against 6'8" ruckman.
He's a 6'2" wedge that they just had to slot in there just to fill in a spot that they had no one else to fill in.
But they weren't terribly efficient, which is sort of where we're going there.
Yeah.
They're wasteful, yeah.
Yeah. Some brilliant players doing brilliant stuff, but then oftentimes they just cock it up at the end.
Well, they were the Mighty Ducks of the AFL.
A little bit, yeah. Mind you, Zach Merritt, brilliant.
Yeah, good year.
Yeah, amazing. And it's funny that it took, he was one that took that opportunity with a whole list clear out and really stepped up. And you're expecting some of the ones they brought in who are a bit older to really fill that role, but he just did it consistently, which usually you can see players that age doing a game here, a game there, but a whole season.
Well, it was also, with the 12 players, was it 12, that had to sit out last year?
I believe so.
2016.
Yeah.
It's a very unique situation, but they made the most of it. And they found, Zach Merritt went up an extra step. McDonald, Tip and Woody wouldn't be there if it weren't for that.
Yeah.
And they got another extra year out of James Kelly as well, who was more than useful. So they made the most out of a really shitty situation. And that's when those guys kind of step up.
And Zaharakis emerged too, I think.
He went okay. He went good. I'd say about on expectations for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in that year where everyone was out, he was the one that sort of emerged then, and he hasn't probably moved into elite superstardom, but he's knocking on the door.
But I feel like with Zaharakis, he's an average player that has moments of brilliance.
Yeah.
And if that's the level you set for him, you're very happy when it comes through.
But I mean, he has moments of brilliance without those moments of what the fuckery.
Yeah, exactly.
Because some players do 90% brilliant and then fuck it up at the end, and you just ruined everything.
His worst is okay. Yeah.
Yeah, his worst is pretty good. So you'll take that, reliability with the occasional flair over someone who's up and down all the damn time.
Yep. Yeah. For their lows, I had the 2 games against Sydney. The first one up in the SCG, they've done, 3 or 4 mistakes in the last 90 seconds to lose that game.
Yep.
There's no way they should have lost it. I haven't seen a game lost like that since...
The last time it happened.
No, Richmond versus Gold Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that time?
Yeah.
There's no reason they should have lost that game. They had so many chances. And then in the finals, they were outgunned.
They were.
They'd reached the end of their marathon for the year.
And that's what I thought as well. I felt like, it would have been great to see him put in a good effort and get up, but they did good to get there in the first place. It's been a long season for them. I also thought the loss at the hands of Brisbane at Etihad Stadium was one that they would have liked to have picked up. Maybe would have put taken a little bit of pressure off them. Towards the end of the season, because that was round 15. So,
and you lost to the eventual Wooden Spooners.
Yeah,
I mean they don't have any wins for the year.
Yeah,
you're one of them.
And again, that's ones you penciled in at the start that these are definitely pickups, and you had every opportunity to win it and then lost it.
Well, I think they penciled it in at half time. They went, this one's over.
Kind of phoned it in.
But,
I was going to say they managed to split the difference with Freo, including a win at the end, which I thought their round 23 win pretty bloody good.
Yeah, Freo packed it in by then.
True, but Essendon were still playing for a finals berth pretty much and managed to get it. So that would be, exactly what they... It'd be more than they planned at the start of the season. Finals would have been...
That's our ultimate goal.
Yeah. It would have been above pass mark.
Yeah, definitely. I thought their other low was obviously Joe Watson. For starters, he got his Brownlow taken off him back in December.
Yeah.
But you could tell he'd had enough.
Yeah.
Either the body or the mind or a combination of both had left him.
Yeah. I mean, anytime sort of pursuing a career as a barista is like favourable over being a champion AFL gun. Something's not quite right. Well, I mean, he had to fill out the Melbourne hipster role when he's trying to represent over there in New York.
I think that the Essendon faithful will remember him for not the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
And still fondly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At his best, brilliant player. He was good enough to win a Brownlow medal.
Yep.
He just didn't. He joins Corey McKernan.
Just didn't get a hang on to it. Well, he got his for a couple of years.
I think he might still actually have it. I'm pretty sure he literally still has
it. I'm pretty sure he does too. Or his nana does or something.
If I was Koch, I'd be going there, get down there with Jackie King, Dusty. I don't know, apparently Tyrone's probably, got probably some not connections.
I'd leave Ty at home. Well, he's got tons of free time now, but still.
I don't think he'll have a role in footy going forward. It doesn't seem like he'd want to.
I mean, he's never been sort of that media personality. He seems like he's just a very relaxed person.
Yeah. Neither is his dad, but he's still got a career in it.
I don't know, this is true. I mean, but that could be part of the problem is that his dad's been that person that's been always out there, and Joe just wanted to be under the radar, do what he does, and just go about it, whatever he has. I don't know what his interests are off the field, to be honest. Besides
coffee. That would be a good one. Imagine if he came out with his own coffee brand. You'd sell a fair bit of it around Essendon, at least.
Yeah, and I mean, he could also have a little, you know, import-export business out of Columbia there.
So sell it out the back, you know. Couple of grams.
Yeah, a couple of grams. A
couple of beans, mate. A couple of beans.
Pure stuff from Columbia.
Hey, just get your blood pumping, eh? Hey? All right, let's have a look at their list then. We've already gone through Watson, who's retired. James Kelly retired as well, and that was a great scene, actually.
Yeah, value.
Getting chaired off by captains of both clubs.
Yeah, I mean, they got way more value out of him than I thought they would.
Yeah, he was there to fill a Guernsey.
Yeah.
But I think it was game 300 against Geelong, which was engineered quite well.
Yep.
So it's not often you get to see both captains chair off the one player. Yep. So he did it right. Brent Stanton, who for a major portion of his career was a whipping boy for him, but turned into a very solid performer.
Not undeservedly, I think, early on.
Yeah, it's probably fair enough, but he turned it around.
Yeah. I mean, all the clubs have to have the whipping boy.
Yeah.
And Stanton just filled that role in lack of other options, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. Heath Hocking, Ben Howlett, and Craig Bird as well. So Bird was another one that I don't know if he was part of the top-ups or if they got him just outside of the top-ups, but I don't think he really played many games for him after coming over from Sydney. So they're the outs, but obviously the ins are the big ones. And I reckon Jakey Stringer isn't the best in they've got, but it was the best manufactured in.
No, were they talking about playing him across the back line or something like that?
That was floated, but honestly, I think he's better up forward.
Yeah, I think you've got to try and make a midfielder out of him. Just give him that diversity, because he's not always on when he's in the forward line. You've got Danaher there, who's hitting the form of his life.
Well, the fact is he can kick it from 60.
Yeah.
He's done it many times. That's
true. I mean, Stringer does have a very, very good goal sense. I mean, he only needs one step to find the big sticks. But you still want to have, I think, make him a dual position player. If you need to, put him, I think backline might be a little bit of not necessarily a weakness, but they might need to have more options for matching up against other teams. I think Stringer could fix that up. But obviously you need to get him fit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he took a reputation hit, obviously, in the off season as well. So hopefully you can shield him from all that and just say, mate, forget about it, play footy.
If there's any clubs going to shield him from that dodgy reputation, it's going to be Essendon.
I'll tell you, that worked in his favour, though, because for Luke Beveridge to come out and say, we don't want him, and then to try and play hardball negotiating, Essendon's gone.
Dumb move.
You've already said you don't want him. This is equivalent of hard rubbish collection right here.
Yeah.
Pretty scary. And banging a 15-year-old can do wonders for reputation.
Well, they know they're going to get 100 games out of him for sure, because in about 18 years' time, there's going to be kids out of Bendigo left, right and centre.
You should get 2 years in jail out of him too.
I think she was 17, but anyway.
This doesn't make a good story though.
No, and he had a...
Well, it doesn't make a great story if you're 17 either.
No, he had a pregnant missus at the same time.
Yeah, so, yeah. You
know. I do like how she joined in the firebomb too. Like, oftentimes you see some of the jilted women in this situation sort of lay low and say, well, I'm just going to take him to court and take all his money. She got a fucking flamethrower out and just launched into him. Honestly, fair play to her.
And usually when there's, you know, a fight between a footballer and their partners, usually the rest of the football community goes, you know, piss off, love. You didn't kick any goals. On this one, everyone's gone, looked at the facts and gone, yep, fuck him.
Yep.
We're with you, love.
Having said that, value pickup.
Well, like,
they paid unders for what they, the potential that he's going to get.
Of course, and Bulldogs shot himself on the foot.
And Bulldogs is such a young list that someone probably went to school with her.
The next in, which I think is the better pickup, is Adam Saad.
Yeah.
Have a look at that back line.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With Adam Saad and McDonald Tip and Woody running through. Fuck me.
Which it's been shown that pace out of the half back line is
everything.
Premiership qualification.
Yeah.
God. If they're the way they run, their inefficiency in kicking isn't as big an issue.
Well, that's exactly right. And I mean, the stand's been set with the mosquito fleet of the Tigers. Yeah. So if you're going to be able to keep up with them, the tall back line just can't be the number one option now.
It's not just coming out of the back line, it's pressuring the person in possession of the ball coming into their forward line, your back line. Because if you've got guys with that pace, it shuts down the time they've got to make a decision, take a shot, whatever.
Yeah, and there's two of them. So if you've got a speedy forward to play defensive forward, who do you put him on? Tippin Woody or Saad? And you've got to change. You've got to go who's hot.
Yep.
And then Tippin Woody plays down in the forward pocket. And
but combine that, Saad will shut you down, but Tippin Woody will tackle you next week.
Yeah.
He is a monster when he wraps around.
Yeah, and he's, like I said, he is the Cyril Rioli of Essendon. And it's funny when I say that to Essendon supporters, like, no, he gets more tackles. I'm like, no, he doesn't. But it's because you don't follow the player as closely as somebody that they play for.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how he's come out of it. And I love watching him play because he is so aggressive without playing the man.
Yeah.
Which is such a weird way of saying it because he hits somebody, he's like, where's the ball? Where's the ball? Yeah. And he's just so hungry for it.
Think part of that is the fact that he knows he came in on borrowed time. So he always had to prove himself for the whole season, knowing that he was just on a 1-year contract when he was a top-up player. And I think that hunger sort of transitioned over. Like
it looks natural too.
Yeah, and it looks like he's the sort of player that believes he could be finished every season, which every player is in that box, but they don't realise it.
It looks like he just loves it.
Yeah, it looks like there's always 30 seconds to go in the game.
Yeah. And it had a great contender for goal of the year as well this year.
Yep.
Honestly, you'd have 22 players with his heart.
Oh, without a doubt. And the last in is Devon Smith, who, if he's the third best in they've got, that tells you how good their off-season was.
He is amazing.
He's a good player.
He had some fitness concerns. Was it him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he played many games this year for the Giants.
But, I mean, it's a clear-out for the Giants, and it's a pickup that they're not going to be relying on, but if it comes good, it's a great gamble to have.
It's depth.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it's one that got over Carlton.
Yep, you know, it's true.
They get a GWS trade that Carlton couldn't.
I've got to see GWS going for a youth policy.
Yep.
One day.
Unlike Stringer.
All right, so let's look at 2018 then. Their double-ups for the year, Richmond, Port, Hawthorn, Collingwood and Frio. For a team that finished mid-table, I'd be very happy with those double-ups.
Yep.
Because you've
ducked Sydney, which has been a bit of a bogey side.
You've ducked Adelaide and Geelong as well. Yeah. So they're only top four side is Richmond, who are the premiers.
Yep.
And to be honest, out of those Adelaide and Geelong, Richmond are the ones I'd still rather play.
Exactly.
Play plus more.
The big money games too, playing those both in Melbourne.
Yeah.
They're the ones that you want.
So that's not bad for them there.
They're not travelling much, are they?
The double up with Port, though, is interesting because the two most active post-seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Team, so that'll be a good. I think they're one. Oh, okay, we'll go into the who's going to have a big year for him. We'll do that one first.
Yep.
So who's going to have a big year?
I'm going to take the easy one and say Heppel. The fact that he had the most contested possessions for them last year speaks great for the lad.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, it's easy because he had a brilliant season, but I think he might go the extra step.
He's, I think, moving away from the running midfielder into the distributor that Joe Watson used to be.
Yeah.
And because, you know, they're obviously they're missing that now, but there's so much outside run with the addition of Saad that he can be that, you know, go in there and get it and give it and watch the others run.
Yeah, and I think they just need consistency from the players that finish the season on a high. Yep. You want to see Danaher have a solid like first half of the season the whole way through. He's in career best form. Also, Fantasia, you want to see him pick up his consistency. Because, like you said, you got Heppel there, who's already proven what he's capable of. You got players coming in that are proven, but it's just a matter of where they're going to slot in. I feel like there's not really a whole lot of pressure on those players coming in, except for Stringer. Yep. So it depends where they're going to play him. But you'd like to see their consistency from players who finish off the season on a higher last year.
Well, Danaher, I put him down. He's my pick for the Coleman.
Yeah.
I reckon this is the year he's going to put it all together. He'll get so many more opportunities at goal that I don't know if his accuracy is going to improve, but I think he'll just get it through weight of opportunity.
Yep. Yeah.
So he's my pick for the Coleman. Who's in trouble then? Who's on the outer?
I don't think anyone's quite on the outer, but I think if...
You mentioned Stringer. I mean...
I think he is. I think he has to prove himself from the get-go.
I think if they play him out of position, like in the back line, he'll probably get two seasons. If he's playing, he'd probably play full forward and Danaher at centre-half, you'd imagine, because Danaher being the longer kick.
Yeah. He had runs on the board at West Coast, at Bulldogs, and that's what kept him around. And he probably should have got dropped more often than he did in the last 2 years.
Yep.
Doesn't have those runs on the board at Essendon.
I think it'll also depend on his attitude. If he turns up thinking, I've got something to prove now, he'll probably do quite well.
He has to. Surely he's taken a hit in the hip pocket too. Surely.
I mean, the best thing he can do is to go in there and fit right in by just not agreeing with Brendan Goddard.
But if he turns up sounding like he's Bernard Tomic, saying, you know, fuck you guys, I'm just counting my money, he ain't going to make it past round four. The other guy I think the blowtorch will eventually turn on is one of the favourite sons in Orazio Fantasia, just because he had a decent season, but a lot of his possessions were 1-2s.
Yeah.
Very much a handball receive and not the most efficient kick.
Yeah, but he's a goal sneak. That's all you want from him. He kicked, what, 30, 35 goals for the year?
Oh, about that.
That's what you're after. You need a hungry mongrel like that.
Yeah.
But what I think is... The bad thing about having Orazio Fantasia is it makes Josh Green an issue.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is Josh Green. I think he's one that's on the chopping block. He's been around for a while. He's definitely got the talent there.
Yep.
It's just where you're going to fit him in. Like, is he going to show it? Is he going to be consistent?
Everything he does, Orazio Fantasia does better.
Exactly,
So you got to do something else.
Well, yeah, double his amount of goals, too.
I look at him just trying to be that hard man that smashes packs, gets in and under.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what other role you're going to slot him into for Essendon. Is Matty D still playing for them?
I'm not sure.
Day?
D-E-A.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's still on the list.
He's a Richmond reject, I'm pretty sure,
He was one of their top-up players that went all right.
Yeah, I think he's probably on the chopping block, only because they've got people in that, like you said, are going to do jobs better than him.
So he's a depth player. You're hoping. He's probably hoping to get half a dozen games this year.
Exactly, yeah.
And finally, I think their main issue is in the ruck, which means Leuenberger.
Yeah.
He's got to be on his last legs.
And it's just about the options you have besides him, because what's he got into his 11th season or something like that, I think I looked up.
Was it really that long?
It's around that. I looked up a few seasons, but I'm pretty sure he's around 11.
If he's played 11, I reckon he's played, you know, 4 seasons worth of games.
Yeah. And it's just a fact of, it's almost like Jonathan Giles from Judas. He just slotted in when there was no one else that they could really put in there.
Well, the thing is that Essendon is a tall side now. They've got plenty of second ruckmans. Yeah. Hooker can do it. Even Hurley can do it.
Well, Bell Chambers is...
Bell Chambers.
The option they're going for.
And Danaher spent some time in the ruck.
I mean, maybe you could just put Josh Green against,
Sean Greig.
Premiership ruckman, Sean Greig.
But I think that's the only place they're vulnerable, is in the ruck.
Yeah.
Even Bell Chambers is undersized.
Yeah.
But he moves well.
Yeah.
He's 201, so he's not the biggest.
No. Yeah, there you go. All right, so where have we got them finishing on the ladder then?
I've got them in ninth.
Ninth, so you got them dropping?
Yeah, slightly. But I don't think that's really a reflection on them as much as a reflection on other teams. I think they'll do a great job and have some great wins. I just think it's going to be a bit more divisive this season, because last season in 2017, there was about 14 sides could have made it going into round 20, I think.
Yeah.
I think this year it's going to be very much the have and the have-nots. And I think they'll be in the middle, but percentage might hurt them a bit.
Outside of the eight. Yeah, but you picked Port finish first, so fuck knows. Brenton.
I have them finishing at a very consistent eighth, same as last season.
One down, actually. They finished seventh.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
May as well be eighth.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be tight for that eighth spot. They could possibly get seventh. I don't think they're really going to be in... Actually, yeah, now I should change my mind. But no, it's eighth. Finishing eighth. I think I've got them picking... playing Gold Coast in the first round, GWS in the first round of the finals.
Right.
So I think that'll be a cracker of a match. Cracker, I think that's going to be, yeah. I think they can win that game too.
I do too.
And that's going from 24 games out from that game happening.
Well, I mean, that's it. We did these ladder predictions in November, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I've got them going up. I reckon they'll be unlucky not to make the four.
Yeah.
So I've got them fifth because those three inclusions are great.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've lost that much. The only thing you can say they lost with Watson is leadership and emotion.
Yeah.
And I think they made it up.
Yeah.
With the youngsters coming through, especially Zach Merritt.
And once you start winning, I mean, you create your own culture again.
Exactly.
You get that emotion from some of those players. So, I think it's just a cycle that happens.
Well, that being said, the first match is against Adelaide and Eddie had.
Beautiful.
So
that is perfect for them. That's the perfect time to get Adelaide.
Yeah, it'll be one that tells us where they are.
Yeah.
If Adelaide come out full of fire and fury after getting spanked, then... You know, maybe Essendon will realise where they've got to be. But if Adelaide have been poor starters, as they have been...
Yeah, well, you say that. Last year in round one, Adelaide smacked GWS.
Yeah.
Absolutely smacked them. Yeah. And GWS came back and still made the top four.
Yeah. Were they still doing that stance that they were doing in round one? Was that like mid-season one?
No, that was just stance, in finals.
Yeah, because they only do the national anthem.
During that old game of test match cricket...
You're talking about the one on the tabletop
one. Yeah, it looked like one of those fielders where they stand there with that little thing between their legs.
Some of them were trying a little bit too hard.
Yeah.
It wasn't a smart move.
Yeah, I think they tried in the mirror a bit too often and the mirror wasn't kind of them.
Yeah, it was a pancake parlour.
All right, there we are for the Essendon Bombers. We got two inside the eight and one outside.
Yep, and I'm hoping they don't reach that far, to be honest, as a Richmond supporter, but all the best to them.
Oh, believe me, if they finish 18th, I'll be very happy.
Yeah.
But I've got them fifth.
Yep.
All right, bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.